Good morning and welcome to our morning traditional service. Wonderful to have you with us wherever you are. It's great to be together. Particularly good morning to the St. Andrew's and All Saints Church family. Good morning. I hope you're all doing well. And if you're joining us for the first time or you've started to join us in recent weeks, it is lovely to have you with us. My name's Peter Myers. I'm the curate at St. Andrew's and All Saints. I'm going to be leading the service. And then our rector, Reverend Dave Bruce, is going to be leading the sermon later. He's going to be teaching on the topic of who is this Jesus. So he will be speaking later. Anyway, it's wonderful to be together. We're going to be following the service in these worship packs, the service sheets, Worship the King. Now, if you haven't got one of these, you can now download all the words that you need for the service off the website. So you can get that right now. So we're going to begin our service on page 21 with our greeting. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and also with you. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. So we're going to sing our first hymn now, hymn number 528. Again, if you've got one of the hymn books, 528. O worship the King. O worship the King, all glorious above, gratefully sing his power and his love. Let us sing together.
Thank you.
So we continue our service on page 21 at the bottom, as we prepare our hearts to recognise and confess where we've got things wrong this week. And we will all have got things wrong. We all fall short of the glory of God, as the scriptures say. So it's a joy to be able to confess and be released from the things that we know we've done wrong, from shame and from guilt. So let us say together prayer of preparation. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. So in a moment of silence, let us bring to the Lord where we haven't loved him and we haven't loved our neighbour as we are called to do. And so let us say together at the bottom of page 22. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. And so, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And let me say the collect for this third Sunday after Easter. Almighty Father, who in your great mercy gladdened the disciples with the sight of the risen Lord, give us such knowledge of his presence with us, that we may be strengthened and sustained by his risen life, and serve you continually in righteousness and truth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Sarah is now going to read to us the two Bible readings, and then Dave is going to teach to us, and that'll be followed by our intercessions. So, Sarah.
The first reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 to 23. You call him Father when you pray to God, who judges all people by the same standard, according to what each one has done. So then, spend the rest of your lives here on earth in reverence of him. For you know what was paid to set you free from the worthless manner of life handed down by your ancestors. It was not something that can be destroyed, such as silver or gold. It was the costly sacrifice of Christ, who was like a lamb without defect or flaw. He had been chosen by God before the creation of the world and was revealed in these last days for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from death and gave him glory, and so your faith and hope are fixed on God. Now that by your obedience to the truth you have purified yourselves and have come to have a sincere love for your fellow believers, love one another earnestly with all your heart. For through the living and eternal word of God, you have been born again as the children of a parent who is immortal, not mortal. The Gospel reading is taken from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 15. This is the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It began as the prophet Isaiah had written. God said, "I will send my messenger ahead of you to clear the way for you." Someone is shouting in the desert, "Get the road ready for the Lord. Make a straight path for him to travel." So John appeared in the desert, baptizing and preaching. "Turn away from your sins and be baptized," he told the people, "and God will forgive your sins." Many people from the province of Judea and the city of Jerusalem went out to hear John. They confessed their sins and he baptized them in the river Jordan. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. He announced to the people, "The man who will come after me is much greater than I am. I am not good enough even to bend down and untie his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Not long afterwards, Jesus came from Nazareth in the province of Galilee, and he was baptized by John in the Jordan. As soon as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw heaven opening and the Spirit coming down on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my own dear Son. I am pleased with you." At once the Spirit made him go into the desert, where he stayed for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. Wild animals were there also, but angels came and helped him. After John had been put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee and preached the good news from God. "The right time has come," he said, "and the kingdom of God is near. Turn away from your sins and believe the good news." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, good morning and welcome to you all. It's good to be with you again. And this morning we're going to be looking at these first few verses from Mark's Gospel. And I'd love you to have a Bible with you if you're able to, as we look at these together. But first let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. And we pray now that you would open our eyes to see what you would want us to see, that you would transform us as we meet with you this morning. Amen. Well, the great thing with Mark is that Mark actually is what the most concise of the Gospels. Mark doesn't use any more words than he needs to in order to tell what he wants to tell. And we see so much packed into these first few verses that we're going to look at this morning. And he begins by saying, actually, this is the beginning of the good news, of the gospel. And it's all about Jesus. Jesus is the person that all this good news centres around. And he says in those words, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, he's saying right from the start that Jesus was the chosen one, the anointed one, the one that was prophesied to come. And he says there, the Son of God, just declaring right from the start that actually this person, this Jesus, was no normal person, but that he was God himself come in human form. And Mark just unpacks in a few of these verses just some of the good news. He hints at some of the good news that will be there to tell in the rest of his gospel. He talks about the forgiveness that there is, that forgiveness that is available, that whatever we've done, however we've let God down, whatever mess we've made of our lives, that actually forgiveness is offered. That is what John's baptism was all about, the baptism signifying forgiveness. But he points here that actually Jesus is going to offer even more than that. Because where John baptized with water, Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit. The good news was that Jesus was bringing God's presence to us, first in human form, and then secondly by his Spirit, that God would live with us, that he would transform us, that he would give us a peace, a comfort, that he would empower us to live God's way, that he would change our hearts and give us life in all its fullness. And Jesus too came, as it says in verse 15, to come and proclaim that the kingdom of God was near. Jesus came to inaugurate that new kingdom, that he came to declare that there was a new way of being under God's rule and reign, that he demonstrated what that kingdom looked like to us, that he brought that kingdom in by his presence, and that one day we'll see that kingdom in all its fullness. But what I wanted to particularly just look at today as I read these verses was the fact that so much of this takes place in the wilderness. We're told here that actually John was preaching in the wilderness, in the desert, and people went out, left their homes, left their normal ways of life to go and see him and hear his preaching. Jesus, again, once he'd been baptized, he goes out the first thing and is sent out into the wilderness. That wilderness, that desert place, that place where everything that's normal is stripped away, where we're exposed, where the normal things of life are taken away from us. Does that sound familiar? In many ways, lockdown for us has been a wilderness experience, a time where actually so much is stripped away. Our friends, the way we do church, for some workplaces, our relatives, the way we contact people, our social lives, so much has been stripped away. And I wonder what God's doing in that wilderness place. Well, perhaps we can get some ideas from what happened here in these verses in the wilderness. And firstly, actually, what happened was that people encountered Jesus and were introduced to the good news in the wilderness. That's what John was proclaiming, the good news that Jesus was coming, and then Jesus appeared for his baptism. John baptized in the Jordan, and there people met Jesus and encountered Jesus there for the first time in the wilderness. And I wonder whether for some of us listening in, actually this has been a time of encountering Jesus for the first time in the wilderness. Maybe you don't normally go to church. Maybe you're actually just listening in and finding out what this is all about. Maybe in this wilderness time, Jesus wants to encounter you for the first time. And I'd really encourage you to read the Gospels, to read the stories of Jesus in this time. Come and connect up on Alpha. We're still only week one done, and week two starts this week. There's still time to come and connect with us and to explore more. But what about those of us who've known Jesus for a long time? Well, I wonder whether this wilderness experience of lockdown is a chance for us to encounter Jesus afresh, to be introduced to Jesus once again. I think when so much has been stripped away, actually, when so much of the way what we do has been stripped away, it's a chance for us to just simply stop and be, to be with God, to encounter Jesus afresh on our own through reading scripture, through prayer, and to allow the truths of who he is to impact us again, where perhaps in the busyness of life we've lost sight of what actually Jesus is all about, of what it means that he is the Son of God, of what it means that he is the Messiah. We have that chance to meet him again afresh. We come to encounter Jesus in the wilderness. Will we let him encounter us afresh? But secondly, what we see too is that the wilderness is a place where we're invited to be transformed, where we're invited to have our lives turned around again. You know, that's what John was calling for. He was calling for repentance, for people to turn their lives around, to turn back to God, to live differently, to live God's way, to live this new way of the kingdom that Jesus was going to bring in. And I think it's been really interesting seeing what's been happening in this time of lockdown. Actually, in society, our whole way of being has been transformed in so many ways, hasn't it? Our way of looking and valuing people, those people, perhaps key workers who were least valued in society, are now the most valued and recognised. God has transformed, turned around our way of thinking. Actually, where so many people were living for themselves, living individually, actually God is doing something in drawing community together. God is turning us around as a society in this time. And I wonder what God may be wanting to turn around in each of us. I wonder perhaps what the one thing that God wants to most transform in us during lockdown is. Maybe it's a marriage which has actually hit a stalemate, that God wants to say, I want to turn your marriage around. I want you to turn around in your marriage and come and live my way. Maybe it's another relationship. I had a lovely story on coffee last week of someone who's just been in contact with their dad a couple of times a year up to now, and is now in contact every other day. God is transforming and turning that relationship around. Maybe actually for some of us who have been furloughed, it's a chance for us to stop and think, how are we living life? Are we living life God's way? Are we so investing time in our work that we're missing out on all that God's calling us to be for our families, for our communities, for our neighbours, for our churches? Maybe in that area God is wanting us to turn around. He's wanting to transform us. It's been lovely to hear of so many people who are saying they're praying so much more. They're starting the day off with God. You know, that's what, again, another way that actually we can be transformed. And God can turn us around, return us to his way in this time. I wonder what God is saying to you in this time of wilderness. Will you let me transform you? Will you repent of where you've been going, living a way which is not the way I want you to be? And will you turn around? And the great thing is God gives us his spirit to help us live differently. And finally, thirdly, is that wilderness time was also a time of temptation for Jesus, wasn't it? When Jesus went out into the wilderness, here we see that actually he was tempted by Satan, tempted by the devil. And I wonder where we are being tempted in this time of lockdown, in this time of wilderness. You know, I was talking to some of our youth this week on our youth mentoring session, and we were talking about how the devil can subtly tempt us and draw us away from the things of God. And I wonder where in this wilderness time you've experienced temptation to be drawn away from the things of God. Maybe actually even now, several weeks in, those rhythms which you started in so well-meaning, such a well-meaning way at the start of lockdown actually have just disappeared, those rhythms of being with God. And in your head, the enemy is just saying, oh, don't worry about praying. It doesn't make a difference anyway. Don't worry about reading your Bible. Don't worry about connecting up with church and listening in on a Sunday and with your church friends. I wonder where we're being subtly tempted and drawn away. And how did Jesus resist temptation? Well, it doesn't tell us here in this gospel, but it does in Matthew's gospel, that Jesus resisted temptation more than anything by dwelling in scripture and being faithful in prayer. And I think that's so key for us as a reminder at this time to continue to be seeking God's words, to continue be dwelling in prayer, and encouraging one another, spurring one another, and keeping in touch with one another, and allowing us to hold firm at this time and not be drawn away. And so may we know God's presence here with us in these continued wilderness times. May we be open to him encountering us afresh. May we be open to his transformation, to him turning us around, to him drawing us back to him. And may we stand firm to resist the temptations of being pulled away. Let's be still and let's have a bit of silence. And I invite you to just ask God to speak to you in whatever he wants to say to you through these thoughts this morning. Almighty God, we thank you that you are in our midst. Draw near to us, we pray. Transform us and keep us standing firm in you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And I'm now going to hand over to Paul, who is going to lead us in prayer.
Today I'll be using the standard responses of Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer, and I'll finish with the prayer that begins, Merciful Father. So let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. We pray for the leaders of your church as they seek to find ways to minister to their congregations and deliver services via a screen. And although we miss not meeting as a group in church, let us remember that your church is about the people and not the building. We may be on our own or in family groups right now, but we are not alone. So we give you thanks that there are many people meeting with you today in similar circumstances, both here in our parishes, in our town, and in our country, and around the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we bring before you the needs of the world. And we pray especially for those poorer countries where healthcare is either fragile or non-existent, and ask that the developed world will not leave them in the wilderness to fight coronavirus on their own. We pray too that while there is a focus on coronavirus, world leaders do not forget about all the other needs of the world, particularly in those countries where there is oppression, where there is violence, where there is famine, and where there are large numbers of refugees. We pray for a true spirit of world community, where the weak are supported by the strong and are not ignored. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for those who lead us in our country. As they face making very difficult decisions, we ask you to grant them and their advisers wisdom and insight. We ask too that they will be perceptive in understanding the impact of their decisions on society, especially the poor and those who feel they have been forgotten and find themselves living in their own wilderness. Grant our leaders the ability to maintain a difficult balance between saving lives and destroying lives. And we pray too for ourselves, that we may be patient with our leaders. They will not always get things right, but then hindsight is a perfect science. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our community and give thanks for the tremendous efforts of volunteers who have stepped up to help those in need. Where lives have been turned upside down and fear and uncertainty dominate people's lives, help us to be a light to our communities, to help bring people in from their wilderness. We pray especially for our young people and their families who face a range of bewildering challenges as a result of lockdown. Be with them as they adjust to a new normality. And we ask you to bless all those who are key workers or who work in the caring professions, and thank you for their dedication and commitment to others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are sick, for those receiving treatment, and for those who care for their loved ones at home. We pray particularly for those suffering from mental illness, especially those whose illness has been triggered by lockdown, and for those suffering from domestic violence. I'll pause for a moment, or you can pause this recording, for you to bring before God any known to you who are in need of God's healing and love. Loving Father, we pray that you will bless all who are anxious or distressed. Comfort and relieve them in their need and bring good out of their troubles. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And for any of you who are struggling in your own wilderness at the moment, take comfort in the promise that God gives us in the words of Psalm 9. The Lord is a place of refuge for the oppressed, a place of safety in times of trouble. Those who know you, Lord, will trust you. You do not abandon anyone who comes to you. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Paul, for leading us in our intercessions. Now, before we celebrate communion together, we're going to say the peace to one another. Now, one of the things that we are restricted in during this lockdown is touch, physical touch. And physical touch is such an important need for human beings. And the peace is one way in which we as a body stretch out our hand and shake one's hand and touch one another. And so I want to really encourage you when we say the peace in a moment, that if you're with others, you might feel comfortable about giving one another a hug. But also, if you are on your own, obviously that is not possible. And I want to encourage you perhaps to say the peace together, holding your hands in that sort of shape, clenching each your wrists, and have that sense of touch, of being held. And we'll do that together. And I hope that will give a sense of connection in a way that otherwise physically not possible. So let us say the peace to one another. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and build up our common life. The peace of the Lord always be with you and also with you. So let us show a sign of the peace to one another, with others. If you're on your own, just grip yourself and I say, peace be with you. Peace be with you. So we now come to celebrate communion together. And as we've said in the past, you may wish to get yourself some bread, some grape juice or some wine to have with you and to share as a symbol of us joining together in sharing this holy sacrament. So we're going to say the Eucharistic prayer on page 30 in the service sheets. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Blessed are you, Lord God, our light and our salvation. To you be glory and praise forever. From the beginning you have created all things, and all your works echo the silent music of your praise. In the fullness of time, you made us in your image, the crown of all creation. You gave us breath and speech, that with angels and archangels and all the powers of heaven, we may find a voice to sing your praises. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. How wonderful the work of your hands, O Lord. As a mother tenderly gathers her children, we embrace a people as your own. When they turned away and rebelled, your love remained steadfast. From then, you raised up Jesus, our Saviour, born of Mary, to be the living bread, in whom all our hungers are satisfied. He offered his life for sinners, and with a love stronger than death, he opened wide his arms on the cross. And on the night before he died, he came to supper with his friends, and taking bread, he gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you, for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Christ is the bread of life. When we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim your death, Lord Jesus, until you come in glory. Father, we plead with confidence your sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. We remember his dying and rising in glory, and we rejoice that he intercedes for us at your right hand. So pour out your Holy Spirit as we bring before you these gifts of your creation. May they be for us the body and the blood of your dear Son. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in your presence, form us in the likeness of Christ. Build us into a living temple of your glory. Remember, Lord, your church in every land. Reveal her unity, guard her faith, and preserve her in peace. Bring us at the last, with all the saints, to the vision of that eternal splendour for which you have created us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom, with whom, and in whom, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise, saying, blessing and honour and glory and power be yours for ever and ever. Amen. And so we say together the prayer at the bottom of page 34, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And so I break this bread to share in the body of Christ. And though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. And though we miss sharing this bread together physically, we continue to remember we are united in Christ in the spiritual realms, and we join together in this communion. So I invite you to draw near with faith to receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts together in the spiritual realm whilst I take it for you physically. So we take his body which he gave for you and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in the spirit, in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. And I want to add a prayer here. The church has often had times of separation where it's been unable to share communion together, to be able to gather because of persecution and other reasons. And I want to say the prayer of from St. Alphaeus Ligouria, who wrote this prayer in the context of a spiritual communion when the church was separated. So let us pray. Our Jesus, we believe that you are present in the Blessed Sacrament. We love you above all things, and we desire you in our soul. Since we cannot cannot now receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into our hearts. As though you were already there, we embrace you and unite ourselves wholly to you. Never permit that we should be separate from you. Amen. So I take the bread and the wine. Amen. So let me say the post-communion prayer. Living God, your Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of bread. Open the eyes of our faith that we may see him in all his redeeming work, who is alive and reigns with you now and forever. Amen. We are now going to sing our second hymn, hymn number 201 in the books. Guide me, O thou great Redeemer. The words will be on the screen, or if you'd like to follow them in the hymns book. Guide me, O thou great Redeemer, 201. We are drawing to the close of our service this morning, and I hope you feel encouraged and nourished by our time together, and that you've encountered Jesus in our worship. Just a couple of notices. Very excitingly, we started Alpha Online this week. So please be praying for that, praying for those involved. There are people around the country that have enjoyed us. It's just not local people who've joined us. So that's fantastic. Please pray for Colin and Marion and the team who are leading that. And if you still know anybody who would like to engage with that and to ask questions of faith in a open and free context, then please encourage them to get involved. All the details are on our website. As usual, we would love to stay connected, hearing your stories of what you're struggling with and also what is going well. So please continue to drop us an email, text, let us know how you are doing. And again, all the details on our website. Also, Alice and Helen spoke to us last week about the boredom bag project. I hope you've connected that. It's about distributing bags with activities and other blessings to families, to people on their own who might be finding isolation very difficult, and giving them ideas of what they can do, activities, things to break the boredom. Details of that again are on our website, so do dip into that to see how you get involved in that, putting bags together or distributing bags, but there's details on the website. So let me finish with a blessing. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and his Son, Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us, now and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord this week. In the name of Christ. Amen. Blessings on all of you, and look forward to speaking to you, seeing you in the coming weeks and days. Much love. Bye-bye.